Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From the 9th chapter, we will read verses 51 through 62. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1479. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 9:51. Now it came to pass when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for Jesus. But they did not receive Jesus, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. You have to know what you want to build. In 1680, 36-year-old William Penn was a Quaker in England when Quakers were being scorned, ridiculed, imprisoned, and sometimes put to death. Penn was imprisoned 3 times as a Quaker preacher and writer. As he traveled with Quaker leaders to the Netherlands and Germany, he met other people who were eager to settle in a free new land. Some people in England also wanted to settle where they could worship without fear. William Penn believed in religious freedom and the individual's right to worship as he pleased. Penn realized that the hope was in America. Charles II owed William Penn's father, Admiral Sir William Penn, an unpaid debt, which with interest amounted to about $80,000. So Penn asked the king to repay the debt with wilderness land in America. On March 5, 1681, a charter was granted giving Penn the territory west of the Delaware River between New York and Maryland, a landmass of 45,000 square miles. The charter also gave him almost unlimited ruling power over it. Well, the king's council added Penn to the suggested name of Sylvania, making Pennsylvania, which means Penn's woods. Penn considered it named after his father. Penn opened the land to the Quakers, and they moved by the thousands from England, Germany, the Netherlands, and Wales. He also invited religious freedom to others who faced persecution in Europe. This included German Catholics, Lutherans, and Anabaptist groups like the Mennonites, the Amish, and Brethren. He drew up a frame of government for his colony, which greatly influenced later charters. A little over 100 years later, the influence of this document is notable even in the Constitution of the United States. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which was ratified on June 21, 1788, begins with, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Religious freedom, the right to worship without fear. This morning we sang the song America the Beautiful. The song was written by Catherine Lee Bates after her trip to Pikes Peak in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, with the Kansas plains behind her and the sunlight striking the mountains with a purple hue before her. It led Catherine Bates to later remark, all the wonders of America seemed on display there. That America is a land blessed by God with beauty is without question. That pilgrims and patriots have dreamed beyond what is seen is also beyond question. Some have noted that even with all that's already a reality, the song is aspirational. There is more to achieve. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and ever gain divine. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. we still need to refine our goal that true success will be in nobleness, not by how much our money can buy. We also strive to see every gain as divine. God continues to shed his grace on us, yet we struggle to live with good for every brother or sister. And we would be wise to build with Psalm 127:1 in our hearts, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Only things built by the Lord will stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ is building a kingdom, the kingdom of God. Jesus knows what he is building. The kingdom of God is built by saving lives. It's for that purpose that Jesus came. The time had come for Jesus to turn his face toward Jerusalem, and as he was traveling from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem in the south, he sent messengers ahead to prepare for his coming, to prepare a place for him. They entered a village of the Samaritans, and they did not receive Jesus because he was going to Jerusalem. Let's remind ourselves of a bit of the Jewish or the Israelite history. From the time of Jacob, who became known as Israel, his 12 sons were the 12 tribes of Israel. About 1,000 years after Jacob was the rule of King David, he ruled all 12 tribes as one kingdom. He was followed by his son, King Solomon. He ruled all 12 tribes as one kingdom. However, after Solomon, the kingdom split. So there were 10 northern tribes known as Israel and 2 southern tribes known as Judah. Well, the kings of Israel didn't want the people to go to that magnificent temple which had been built by Solomon, didn't want them to travel to Jerusalem. So they erected high places in the land for the people to worship there. Within about 722 years before Christ, Assyria conquered the 10 tribes of Israel. And they deported many of the Israelites and then also brought in other people. And over time, there was much intermarriage by some. And these people became known as Samaritans. They were not considered pure descendants, even though they saw themselves as children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So over years, hatred and hostility, we know how these things happen, but hatred and hostility between the Samaritans and the Jews in Judah grew until they generally avoided one another. Thus, at least that particular village did not want a visit from Jesus as he was on his way to Jerusalem to worship. Now, Jesus had given instructions when he sent his disciples out to announce the good news of his coming kingdom. Do you remember what Jesus said, if you go to a house or a village and they reject you? Jesus said, shake the dust from your feet and move on. However, when James and John saw the rejection, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? You may recall that Elijah was a great Old Testament prophet that challenged the 450 prophets of Baal to see whose God would rain down fire and consume the sacrifice on their respected altars. The purpose was not to display Elijah's power, but that the people would know there is a God in Israel. Well, James and John know that with Jesus, that he has the power to calm the raging seas and the winds, there's power to cast demons from people and raise people from the dead. Jesus has all the power of God. It's up to Jesus to decide how to use his unlimited power. Jesus has also granted his disciples power. How will they use their power? Jesus turned and rebuked James and John. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. How will we use the power of God in us to help build the kingdom of God? Will we bless people or will we burden people? Will we offer peace and then move on if we're rejected? Will we offer good news but then rain down fire if it's not received? While rejected by some, there were other people who were eager to follow Jesus. Now, my first inclination would be, well, sign them up. But to me, Jesus is not only hesitant, but he's harsh. As they journeyed on the road, someone said to Jesus, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is saying, you better think this through. There's a lot more involved in following me than feeding thousands or calming seas and healing diseases. You'll be out on the road with nowhere safe and restful to even lay your head. But then to another, Jesus said, follow me. But he said, well, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That is harsh. What do you mean? Do we not respectfully bury your father, your mother, your loved one? Would Jews generally bury quickly after death, which leads some to suggest that the father wasn't yet dead. If he were already dead, the man would be at his burial. It could be more of a term used to suggest, yes, I'll follow you after my father is dead and I settle the estate or receive my inheritance. The real issue is in terms of putting off the Lord. Sometimes we want to say, yes, Lord, I'm with you all the way. I'll be there right after. Another also said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Is there no time for even a farewell party? Years ago, I had a nephew who joined the army, and before he left, a farewell party was planned. We gathered before he went off to 10 weeks of basic training or boot camp. There was chicken fingers, cake, punch, and lots of smiles and hugs and pats on the back as we told him how proud we were, that we sure were going to miss him. With Jesus, recruitment was a little more like my grandson Jackson this past summer signing up for the Cavaliers Drum and Bugle Corps. He had about a week to send in tryout videos, have a Zoom interview, get an athletic medical release, pack his bags, and get to band camp at a college campus. It will be about a 10-week period of intense band camp and performances with no home visits, no cake or punch. He did get a last supper with his mom, dad, and sister. Jesus is building the kingdom of God. Jesus has a plan for this kingdom. First and foremost, the kingdom of God is built by saving lives. This is Jesus' reason for going to Jerusalem. It is reason for coming to earth. When building the kingdom of God, we cannot get sidetracked by the actions of other people or our response. People may not initially hear the good news of Jesus and receive him. We may have to offer peace and then leave them to God for a later time. We do so without harm. Secondly, the kingdom of God is built by people who are willing to go wherever and whenever the Lord calls them to go. God's people will not look back, but they'll look forward to the kingdom of God. I don't think that having a bed with a pillow is bad, or a farewell of God be with you is wrong. To me, what Jesus is saying is that becoming a Christian is not about all the benefits of kingdom living. Likewise, becoming a true follower of Jesus is not about bargaining with God about when to do God's work. We do God's bidding wherever we are and at all times. Furthermore, when we follow Jesus, some will be glad for us and will celebrate our journey, and some will try to detain us. When it gets tough, we cannot keep looking back to whatever was in our life before that was good. The kingdom of God is about life. Oh, the gift of abundant life here on earth and eternally. It's not ours to give, but it is surely through God, through Jesus Christ. However, we do have a part in building the kingdom of God as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is also aspirational. It's not yet finished, but we know that one day it will be perfectly complete because God is building the kingdom. Let us pray. Oh God, creator and sustainer of us all, help us to choose to completely follow Jesus. Grant us the privilege of helping to build the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.